If you would like a free newsletter on this or other subjects, just give us a call at Christian Answers. The phone number is area code 512-218-8022. That's 512-218-8022. Or you could email us at cdebater@aol.com. That's cdebater@aol.com. Thank you.
Hello, this is Larry Wessels, Director of Christian Answers of Austin, Texas, Christian Debater. Please check out our YouTube channel page, C Answers TV. That's CANSWERSTV. Just type it into the YouTube search box, then click on one of our links for it. Our channel page features 19 playlists on all types of subjects, such as Jehovah's Witnesses with 17 videos. And by the way, these are videos we've produced ourselves. Mormonism, 14 videos. Seventh-day Adventism, 11 videos. Phony TV Preachers and King James Onlyites, 14 videos. Nation of Islam, Black Muslims, this is of the Louis Farrakhan type, 20 videos. God-hating Atheists, Agnostics, and Know-It-Alls, 18 videos. Darwin's Metaphysical Evolution Religion, 17 videos. UFOs, Ghosts, Magic, Spiritual Warfare, 16 videos. Islam, such as Sunni Muslims, Shiite Muslims, Alawites, Sufis, 54 videos. Roman Catholicism, Idolatry, and the Virgin Mary, 71 videos. Anti-Trinitarian, such as the United Pentecostal Church, and Church History, 36 videos. Antichrist cults, the New Age, and world religions, 38 videos. Saved by Works Baptism, Church of Christ Campbellism, 69 videos. Hell, Lake of Fire, Unpopular Bible Doctrines, 19 videos. Predestination, Arminianism, and Calvinism, 54 videos. End Times, Supernatural Prophecies and Tough Bible Questions, 20 videos, and others.
Greetings and welcome once again to our program. I'm Larry Wessels, your host, and I want to thank you for being with us today. This is Christian Answers Presents, and we are going to continue in our usual way, as we've been doing for the last 20 years, of doctrinal analysis of supposed true world religions. Today's true world religion that we're now putting to the biblical test for truth is the Baha'i World Faith. Maybe you're not familiar with this, but after you watch this, you will be a little bit more familiar with it. And we will come to this issue from a Christian perspective. So we all have our biases and prejudices, and we are biased and prejudiced toward the Lord Jesus Christ and his saving work on the cross for the redemption of our sins and the truthfulness of the Word of God. We do believe that. And since the Baha'i World Faith says that they believe in Jesus, well, we're going to find out if that truth claim is really true. And joining me in this analysis today, as we look at this religion historically and doctrinally, is our Director of Research for Christian Answers, Steve Morrison. Steve, great to have you here, as always.
Well, thank you, Larry.
Well, Steve, I've already introduced part two in this series. And you, in part one, you covered a lot of the historical background leading up to the Bab in the Baha'i World Faith and also the Baha'u'llah. And not to go back into a lot of that stuff because, you know, frankly admitting, history is what it is. Sometimes it's a little boring. But I did notice from part one that there was a lot of violence there, a lot of separating, divisions, fighting over who's the leader and who's not. And
after the Bob
who
guy,
got
yeah.
ripped off by somebody else? Was it the younger, the older, or who? Well, anyway, there's a lot of political and religious intrigue there. And we're not going to read, if anyone wants to see that, they can go back to part one. But anyway, somehow out of all this, the Bob gets killed, and then you've got this other guy coming along claiming to be the Gate of Gates. You know, he's like the top religious dog, and he's going to really give you the religious lowdown of what's truth, and that would be the Baha'u'llah.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're kind of at that point now in the historical perspective. And I want to kind of just pick up there, and you kind of bring up whatever you want to pick up from the last show and
okay.
take us on into this part two of this series on this subject.
Okay. Well, the Baha'is came out of Babism, which came out of Shiite Islam, and the prophet of the Baha'is, Baha'u'llah, claimed he was the Mahdi, the 12th Imam return of Shiite Islam. However, they also claimed to follow the Bab. And the Bab claimed that he was the Mahdi. So, will the real Mahdi stand up? Because
they both lived at the same time.
They both were alive at the same time. The Baha'is believe that the Bab was a true prophet of God. And if he said he was the Mahdi, then you have a contradiction. One guy thinks he's something he's really not. At least one guy.
So, one of them has to be lying.
At least one, yeah.
Because even in the Shiite Mahdi understanding, you're only going to have one of them.
Right,
coming
right.
back. Yeah, here's two guys living at the same time, both claiming to be that one that Shiites believe is coming later.
Yeah, now here's another thing. The Bab said that there are many manifestations of God, you know, Moses, Jesus, Muhammad, and himself. And he said there won't be another manifestation for 1,000 years. And you can read about this at www.geocities.com/athens/acropolis/5111/mirza.html. Okay, and so yet 19 years after the Bab proclaimed he was a manifestation, the Baha'u'llah said, 19 years and 1,000 years aren't the same. Again, one of those guys, either that's the Bab had a false prophecy or the Baha'u'llah is an imposter.
And in fact, we established from the other show that they have this concept of one religious leader melding into the next religious leader who melds into the next. And in fact, just to mention one list, and they had various lists. I think you mentioned they had some lists, they had 14 different guys and another 7 and another
yeah.
9.
Yeah, 14 is combining all the lists.
Right. Their latest list is 9. And this would include religious leaders such as Moses. And of course, we know Moses presented God as personal, strict, uncompromising monotheism. That's what Moses taught. But then they also accept, as another leader that came along down the pike, as Krishna. And of course, Krishna was polytheistic, but ultimately pantheistic and impersonal. So now you've got another guy who they say...
Is God personal or impersonal?
Right. So already you've got a contradiction between the first two religious guys they're bringing up in this list.
But one solution to that, I've heard, is that Baha'is in America, they often talk about God in personal terms, you know, somewhat kind of sound like the Christian God, but many Baha'is in India, they talk about God in impersonal terms, so they kind of have their cake and eat it too.
But at the same time, Krishna is teaching polytheism,
yeah.
which is a belief in many gods, which of course Moses totally denied, said there's only one God.
Right.
So they can have their cake and eat it too, but they're still got their foot stuck in their mouth and blocking the cake from coming in because they're teaching many gods on their second leader in this list, where the first one that they also accept is saying there's only one God.
One way that someone explained it to me, they said if God had messages as different as these messages are, then the God of the Baha'is must suffer from multiple personality disorder.
Well, I believe that's the case because as we go to the third guy in this list, Zoroaster, he believed there was two supreme beings.
One good, one evil. So
right.
That's like neither Krishna nor Moses.
So now he's nullifying the first two guys because one says there's one, one says there's many. Now the third guy they accept as teaching the truth of God says there's only two, and one of them's good and one of them's bad. Dualism.
Right.
Well, all we're seeing here is, you know, a terrible case of religious schizophrenia, as far as I can tell. And then they accept Buddha after that. But then Buddha says, God's not even relevant. Who needs God? You know, you could be an atheist and be a Buddhist in certain Buddhist persuasions.
Almost with Theravada Buddhism, yeah.
Right. It depends on whether you're, there's different branches of Buddhism.
At least 30, yeah.
Exactly, 30 different. And so anyway, whether God's relative or not is another relative question in Buddhism, which also contradicts the other three that they're accepting ahead of him. So then you go down to Confucius, and he was polytheistic, but then at the same time, when you look at his writings and teachings, he's more teaching about ethics and how you live your life, not so much about God.
He kind of downplayed, discussion of the hereafter.
Yeah, and so he's more like forks and spoons you put on a table, and stuff like that.
Or how to be a perfect gentleman.
How to influence friends and win people over to your side, I guess. And then they go with Jesus Christ after that, although he was left out on some of their lists, mm-hmm. depending on which Baha'i guy you're going with. But of course, Jesus taught God is personal, able to get a son, strict, uncompromising monotheism, which is what ties in with Moses. And then they come up with Muhammad after Jesus. And, of course, Muhammad is saying God is personal, unable to beget a son, mm-hmm. unlike Jesus, and he's strict, uncompromising monotheism. But still, when you read the Quran of Muhammad, you find that the Quran very clearly states that if Allah does not have a son,
right.
and there is no Trinity, of course, Muhammad thought that the Trinity was... the Father, Son, and Mary. Somehow he got Mary in there as part of the Trinity. Mm-hmm. Took the Holy Spirit, made him Gabriel, the angel that talked to Muhammad. But anyway, you have a contradiction there, right, from Muhammad about the very nature of God and what the Bible would say. Now, the Bible teaches the Trinity of the nature of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Within the nature of the one true eternal God, are three eternally distinct persons.
Baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Matthew 28:19. So what we have here is just a conglomeration, according to the Baha'is, of all this religious confusion. And then after Muhammad, according to this list, Baha'u'llah, the Gate of Gates, comes along.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I just wanted to throw that in because we didn't really get that in on the first show. We kind of talked about different lists, but we didn't really get into all the names, and so I thought I'd give you the general list right there. It's on this tape now.
Taoism and Confucianism, they're in some lists, but I don't think they're in the list of nine anymore.
Right.
So it's like they're in, and then I think Moses and Muhammad, they were in all the lists, but that's about it.
Right, and then they threw in Hud in one of those lists, who was out of the Quran.
Hud and Sila, which are in the Quran. So right. It's kind of like something called like a spiritual chameleon, almost.
Exactly. In fact, that's a good way to put it, because if you're dealing with the Baha'is in the United States, let's say, which is more biblical in their perspective, although the United States has really become just a secular, evolutionary, abortion-laden type country, but still it's got more of a biblical flair to it based on our history than you would find in the Middle East, which is more Islamic.
Right.
They would stress more Muhammad and things like that over in the Middle East if they're Baha'i to get along and cut down on their persecution level. So over here in America and the West, they'll talk more about Jesus in a chameleon. In other words, whatever political, religious landscape they happen to find themselves in, mm-hmm. they'll lean more that way because they know you're probably more about Jesus over here in the West than you would be in the Middle East. In the Middle East, then you can go...
it's not just saying to different audiences, but they actually believe different too. For example, Baha'is, like in Iran and stuff, they would believe that you need to visit the tombs of various holy men. You need to recite things all the time. You need to be married, since I think it's around 11, and if your spouse dies, you can have a man can have two wives, and then if it dies, you have to remarry within a certain amount of time. Okay, now if you ask American Baha'is about these, they typically will never refer to them. They say, no, we don't follow these.
Right.
And so it's a difference in what they believe, but they both go by the same name.
And, of course, there's another reason, as we already talked about, they don't translate some of their own books, mm-hmm. so their own people don't find out.
Yeah.
In fact, I think a book that the Baha'u'llah, the Baha'is, said was his most important book that he's ever written. So the Book of the Laws.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think they share his most important book that he's ever written with their own people?
Yeah.
Do you happen to have it over there?
Well,
You're looking over there.
Isn't very, very commonly known, but the Kitab-i-Iqdas.
Yeah, the Book of the Laws.
This was translated into English, but some of his others were not.
Right. But they don't really like their people to know what a lot of his sayings were. You know, like a lot of your Baha'is don't believe in capital punishment, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
But in his Book of the Laws, he's saying that there's certain things you can do which merit capital punishment, like arson. Yeah.
And they believe that Bob was a prophet, and he believed in jihad.
Yeah.
And I actually have a book over here. It's like, this is a selection of writings from the Bob. Why don't they have all the writings?
Exactly. You know? Just the selection. They don't put the whole thing in there.
Yeah.
He also, I think the Baha'u'llah in his Book of the Laws said that you're to take a bath once a week.
Right.
He also taught things like women can go into the mosque, you know, at night after the men are gone. You know, this doesn't work well in the Western mind
right.
with the Baha'is over here. So there's a reason why a lot of them don't happen to know about this. But then you got to wonder why, if this is the real deal, why don't they even share his Book of the Laws?
Why can't they keep the message the same?
Yeah, why don't they just take a bath once a week like they're supposed to? According to their,
after the Baha'u'llah died, the movement was taken over by his son, Abdul Baha Abbas, who's also called Abbas Effendi. And he lived until 1921. Afterwards, his oldest grandson, Shoghi Effendi Rabbani, who died in 1957, took over. Now, these men did not claim to be prophets themselves, but they claimed to carry on the teaching. And then after he died, and since then, the Baha'is were led by a council, a group of people called the International House of Justice. All right. However, a group split off. They're called the Orthodox Baha'i Faith. And they said the successor was not the council, but a man named Raisin Remy. Now, Baha'u'llah claimed to be another 1,000 years, another manifestation will appear, which is interesting because most Baha'is say, well, he's the greatest and the last one, just like Muslims claim that Muhammad is the greatest and last prophet, and Baha'is say the same thing, but Baha'u'llah itself said there'd be someone else coming, but 1,000 years later. Okay, and also says that Baha'is are not supposed to start any other sects. Well, that's already happened with the split-off. So you see, it's kind of a checkered past. With the violence and assassinations of the Baha'is apparently assassinating Azalis and vice versa, and all this going on, all this divisive stuff, and yet they claim to be unity. But moving on to looking at their teachings, the Baha'is, they are kind of crazy about the number 19. For example, here's a quote. It says, in the not far distant future, it will be necessary that all peoples in the world agree in a common calendar. And the Baha'i calendar has 19 months of 19 days each. Now that's 361 days. So it's not quite a solar year, so they add 4 to 5 days called intercalary days just to adjust. And the Baha'i New Year starts the same year as the Persian New Year at the March equinox. And of course, given their historical background of where they came from, it's Persian. Okay. We talked about some of the prophets that they revered. They now say that the list is Moses, Zoroaster. Zoroaster is the Persian prophet, founder of Zoroastrianism. Sometimes his name is pronounced Zarathustra also. Muhammad, Jesus, Krishna, Buddha, the Bab, and the Baha'u'llah. Okay? And it's changed between 7 and 14. And it said that the prophets were infallible, but the teaching of all but the last two are mainly lost or corrupted. So, Larry, when you said that, you know, well, how would you know that Muhammad taught one God and no son, and Jesus taught one God, you know, but he was the son of God, and Krishna taught many gods, both pantheistic and Zoroaster, you know, fire worshippers, you know, and the two dualism, they couldn't respond to that by saying, oh no, it was all corrupted. They didn't teach anything at all. They didn't teach anything. Well, we don't know what they taught. So, 2 points in that is one. That God lost his word, and so people who were generally trying to follow God during those times could only follow false stuff, is kind of what they're saying with that. The other thing is that we have writings from the Bible. We have like most of the Gospel of John, you know, from about, you know, 175, 200 AD. And it's the same as today. We have the early church writers wrote what Jesus said, and including people who were like disciples of the Apostle John. And so we know that it's been preserved. We have the Dead Sea Scrolls from the time of Christ, and Jesus affirmed the scriptures who came before him. But not only that, we also have the writings of the Bab, who was alive and a manifestation of God at Baha'u'llah. So if he contradicts the Bab's writings, then we have the Bab's writings, it can't be an issue of corruption. It's got to be an issue of contradiction.
Well, what's funny, too, is if they say that all these leaders were speaking the truth of God at one point, it's interesting that I think it's in the Bab's book, which you showed earlier, where he said that all the previous religious books should be destroyed except for the Quran.
Right. Well, actually, we don't have the Bab's book in English. All we have is just a selections.
Oh, okay. But I'm talking about...
But the real thing, the book of Bayan.
And I think it's interesting, why would you, in the first place, if these other men were actually teaching for a while, according to them, the truth of God, why would you want to destroy those books?
Yeah.
But yet the Bab says that. And another thing is, it's always a cop-out when you say that everything's corrupted until our guys get here. And that way it gives you an out. It kind of reminds me of the Mormon religion. You know, you need this Book of Mormon written in 1830 because the Bible's all corrupt. Mm-hmm. But they can't ever prove their argument. But it gives them a reason to be able to say, whenever you bring up a Bible verse that proves or contradicts what they're saying, then they say, oh, well, that's a corrupt text. You know, that's a corrupt text. Well, how do you know it's a corrupt text?
How do you know the Bible?
They can't prove it's a corrupt text. Right. Yeah. See, and that's the problem. The same with the Muslims. They do the same thing in a lot of these cults. They say that, but can they prove it? No. You know, but that's just their, as I say, their theological cop-out to be able to escape from the clear evidence of the scriptural references that clearly refute what they're trying to argue for.
Yeah. So on one hand, they're saying all religions should unite, but then they're saying burn all the other religious books except theirs.
Right, they're like book burners, you know. We saw those Nazis and those old newsreels throwing the books in the fire. Well, their own leaders are doing the same thing, but they want to just claim that they've got the truth, but these other religions all should unite things, but it doesn't jive with being the truth if those other religions are now false.
Mm-hmm.
And to take those false teachings that need to be burned, as the Bab said, and incorporate them into your own religion, suddenly you're incorporating things that you say should be burned, destroyed, and discarded, and incorporate it into your own religion. Wouldn't that mean that you're corrupting your own religion then, by incorporating false teachings that need to be burned into a new religion? That,
well, they might answer that saying, oh, they just want to take the uncorrupted parts. But then how do you determine what's uncorrupted, especially when you've proven, I guess, themselves wrong by rejecting some of the Bab's teachings? And getting back to this manifestation of God, if the Bab was a manifestation of God, there's only one at a time, and if he was born as a manifestation of God, and if the Baha'u'llah was born as a manifestation of God, then there are two manifestations walking around at the same time saying contradictory things.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they say, well, you weren't born a manifestation of God, it just comes upon you like possession or something like mm-hmm. that, then it's like, okay, so I guess the Baha'u'llah was not a manifestation of God until after the Bab died, or they have nothing about how that all works.
Well, it almost sounds more like possession rather than a manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they're both alive at the same time, it's not a manifestation.
Right.
And if they're saying this guy dies and then now this guy, it's almost like being possessed by a spirit or something, but I would say in this case they're not possessed by the Spirit of God, but maybe by something else.
Right.
They might be possessed by.
And if one of these manifestations says jihad, and there wouldn't be a successor for 1,000 years, and another denies jihad, and says he's a successor, then, you know, God is multiple personality disorder, I guess.
Well, as we said before, and I brought this up earlier, one of their main tenets in this religion is the unknowability of God. The unknowability of God. And you get that in a lot of their writings and things. But the problem is, how do they, if God's unknowable, then how do they know that he's unknowable?
Especially if he's a contradictory things.
Yeah. I mean, if God's unknowable, how can you know anything about him? Or even make a declaration about him? The whole thing is logically fallacious from the beginning. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like me saying, trying to analyze it this way and trying to figure out what they're trying to say theologically. If I say, if my next statement is, everything I say is a lie, is that true? You know, you see the problem here?
You'd be suspicious of even your next statement.
Well, see, that's what trying to figure out what they're doing.
Yeah.
That's almost the same. That's an analogy of what they're trying to tell us theologically with all these different positions by all kinds of places. And then they've got two Mahdis running around at the same time and things of this nature. It just shows you the basic confusion we have here and their own censorship of their own writings.
Yeah.
Which,
well, when the Baha'u'llah was alive, though, they were all agreed on one thing. You were supposed to bring them gifts.
Oh, yeah. Bring them gifts.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing I found about religious leaders, and it doesn't matter if it's a major religion or a religious cult. Cult leaders like to definitely receive gifts, particularly of the monetary kind. So, you're right about that. I didn't notice that continuity.
So there's some continuity.
Yeah, the continuity.
Now, some of the other unusual Baha'i teachings is that, well, they said all should speak one language, and they champion Esperanto. They say dead people can speak telepathically with us. Oh, I forgot. They do say that prayer is like conversation with God, which Christians say also. They say no fighting, except that maybe a multinational group of countries could fight a single country that's oppressing them.
Of course, they're ignoring their own history in that case.
Yeah, the assassinations and stuff. And there are no intoxicants or like opium or whatever or alcohol, except if there's a medical need. They emphasize cleanliness and education, and they say no gambling, but games of chance are okay, I guess, if no money is involved. And they don't believe in reincarnation. They don't believe in a professional priesthood. And they do believe all people are equal. So they're very much against the caste system as in traditional Hinduism. One of the few things that all Hindus agree upon was reincarnation, and they're against that. So it's like, you know, for thousands of years, all these Hindus have been believing totally wrong stuff.
But now I have a problem with that because I'd mentioned just a while ago about the Book of the Laws, the most important book that the Baha'u'llah of the Baha'i world faith, their great leader, he said that women can go into the mosque after dark when the men aren't there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why is that if everybody's equal? Why do they have to sneak in there after the men leave? If they're equal, why can't they go in there when the men are in there?
Yeah. So, if they say they got to be separated, why don't the men go in daytime half the time, and the women go in daytime half the time, and the men go night half the time, and vice versa. But
and
kind of separate but equal there.
And he also said you could have two wives. I know in the Quran it says you can have four.
Right.
But how come the women don't get to get two husbands?
Yeah. So,
they're getting ripped off.
So it's a little different. But anyway, against Islam, they believe that slavery is wrong. Well, their prophet, since they claim him Prophet Muhammad, he is proven in Muslim sources to have owned slaves.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of there. They're more Western. They say women do not need veils. However, they still wear them in Islamic countries, not for religious reasons, but to mm-hmm. avoid problems. They have a will being given inheritance however you want, which contradicts Islam. And the other thing they say is the Bab and Baha'u'llah were born in Shiite Persia. And they say the reason they were born in Persia, because that was the most religiously backward places in the world back then.
So
kind of turn their back a little bit on the Shiite origins.
Well, when I say religiously backward, I can, you know, from what we've been analyzing, I've been finding a lot of backward religious teachings. And doing an analysis like this sort of gives us an opportunity to kind of touch on a lot of the other religions at the same time for the benefit of the audience. You may want to do a little research in this, but I can tell you that biblically we don't have any kind of problem like this. We have thousands of fulfilled prophecies, a continuity from Old Testament to New Testament, 40 different authors writing over a 1,500-year period, as if one guy wrote the book. The doctrines unite. The evidence attended by the Holy Spirit of God is there. The manuscript evidence you brought up earlier is there. We don't find any of that with that. But with that, we're out of time. So just remember, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Don't worry about these other guys. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ of the Bible and thou shalt be saved. Okay, I'm Larry Wessels with Steve Morrison for Christian Answers. Join us again next time. God bless you all.
Check out our websites, BibleQuery.org. This site answers 7,700 Bible questions. HistoryCart.com. This site reveals early church history and doctrine, proving Roman Catholicism is not historically or doctrinally viable. MuslimHope.com. This site is a classic refutation of Islam, a counterfeit religion created by Muhammad. Free newsletters are also available.
Hello, this is Larry Wessels, director of Christian Answers of Austin, Texas, Christian debater. My daughter Marlena has come out with a Christian music CD entitled Win This Fight. It has 8 songs that she has written and performed herself. Some of the song titles are Win This Fight, Love Song to My Lord, Vessel to You, Waiting to Hear From You, Jesus Is, and others. YouTube viewers can listen and see Marlena's music video, Jesus Is, right now, free. Just type Marlena Wessels, MarlenaWessels, in the YouTube search box and click on her video on the page that comes next. If you would like more information about getting a copy of her CD, just email us at cdebater@aol.com. That's cdebater@aol.com. Or give us a call at 512-218-8022. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you and yours.